Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Hello, my friends. It's time for another exciting edition of Nine Pitches. I'm joined by Andrew and Ross. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Ross?
I am excited.
I'm excited because
I can't wait for this video to get going.
Because it's the Royal Rumble.
It's the real Rumble.
Yes. This Saturday, which feels
Crimble,
wrong.
Crumble, crumble.
Rimbly, rumbly.
Feels wrong that it's on a Saturday.
But I quite like it.
Feels good that it's on a Saturday.
Yeah. Really? So you get the break afterwards, don't you? And just don't go straight into the next week. You get like a bit of
That is true.
Bit of downtime.
That is very
true. Spend it with the family.
Talk about who's
won. Go to the lakes. Have a great time.
As always on these pitches videos, it operates in a cyclical fashion. It'll go Ross, then Andrew, then myself. We'll do that three times and we'll each then be left with nine lovely pitches for this Saturday's Royal Rumble pay-per-view. But remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Come on. Ross.
It's the Royal Rumble noise.
That's good.
Next entrant, come on down. I'm going straight to the men's Royal Rumble match, everybody. We get down to the final four in the Rumble. It doesn't matter who's in there, Andrew. It's not important, all right? Just don't worry about it. The lights go out. People in the crowd who think they know everything scream, "It's the Fiend! Oh my God, it's the Undertaker! Oh my God, is it a power cut?" No. It's none of those things. Black and gold lights fill the arena aggressively. They are aggressive. Black and gold lights. So aggressive. The lights go out again. Pitch darkness. They come back up. So we've got light once again. LA Knight, Tommaso Ciampa, Peter Dune, and Roddy Strong. The lads have been having the dark matches and the matches on main event. Not the main event matches. The matches on main event for the last little while. They're on each of the aprons around the ring, of which there are four, of course.
Yeah, we're still following this.
All of a sudden, dun, 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 time to play the game hits. Not quite how it goes, but you know what I mean.
I thought the crazy frog was going, right?
Triple H, the man himself, is there at the entrance way. Now, for this pitch to work in my mind, go back to 2015 when the entrance ramp had the WWE logo on there where the camera would spin around for Seth Rollins' entrance. I need that specific logo to be there, right? Just keep that in mind. Because symbolism in professional wrestling is so important. Triple H takes his sledgehammer, right? And he just twats that WWE logo as hard as he can and he smashes it into smithereens with one hit because he's the gamer and he's really hard. As he does that, all four NXT lads start to beat up the four men who are left inside of the Rumble, the final four of the men's Rumble match. They clear the ring. There is no Rumble winner this year. WWE is in tatters. Vince McMahon is in the mud. Triple H takes the microphone and he says he's going to personally ensure the four lads who did the beatdowns and whatnot aren't mismanaged by stupid ideas from bad creative. And if anyone wants to join them to do so, they can take over WWE. Pun very much intended, everybody there. Over the coming weeks, they do things like Retribution try to do, but they're doing well and not crap like Retribution did because Retribution were naff and this thing, it's really cool like NXT 1.0 was. I'm thinking we get a stable to the size of the NWO and in that dying days, likes of, I've got some names written down here, Gulaks, your Ricochets, Tozawas, Viking Raiders, Dijakovic, all of them joining this thing. People from NXT 2.0, the best ones, they're dripped in as well. Your Gunters.
Oh, hang on.
Your Gunters.
Okay.
It's just a name. It's fine. It's just a name. Your Carmelo Hayes, your Tony D'Angelo's. People are going wild at this thing that's growing and it's expanding and it's taking over the World Wrestling Federation. Eventually, there's enough people to make their own bloody roster and they're going to do so because it's Survivor Series. We have Team WWE with Vince McMahon in their corner taking on Team Black and Gold, I don't know what it's going to be called, with Triple H in their corner with the ownership of Monday Night Raw on the line. Team Black and Gold wins. They take over, pun intended again, Monday Night Raw. NXT 2.0 is taken off the air. We get a two-hour Black and Gold thing that is Raw now, and we all live happily ever after.
Whoa.
Sounded like you were about to explode. I am at the end there. That was insane.
That was revolutionary.
J.R.R. Tolkien-esque.
Yeah, it was. It reminded me of Lord of the Rings, actually. Yeah.
Picked a random man who writes books.
Dickens-esque, you might say.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Andrew, who
Spike
goes first?
Milligan. Oh,
Spike Milligan-esque.
I mean, it's a big fat yes from me. Kicking off the year in style, everybody. That was ridiculous. And I'm a huge, I love the black and gold era of NXT so very, very much. And this, the new era is not hitting me as much. And this is such a good way of bringing everybody in and starting to, like, you know, because I feel bad for Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne and everybody, kind of the people who were in there helping to build up the brand at NXT, what it's known as, and then kind of getting shoved to the side a little bit now. I like the idea that they all come out. I was a bit skeptical about the nobody wins the Rumble this year. But if that plays into things down the line, like you were saying, Survivor Series and whatnot, that could really, really work and shake things up as well. Shake things up because, you know...
Never been done before.
We all go into the Royal Rumble expecting a solid one-person winner, two people for like each the women's and the men's match, whatnot. But this would be something exciting. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a yes from me as well. I was similar to Andrew. I was like, oh, no winner of the Rumble. Mm. But then I thought, no, you know what? You're right, because the main roster, and now NXT, of course, is in such a creative state at the minute. It needs something drastic to shake it up. And I think this is probably, yeah. I don't know how it would do in terms of real life and like how the fans would the casual fans would respond. But that doesn't matter. They are not important.
I don't care about them.
No, me neither.
They have ruined my wrestling experience as a full-time wrestling fan, these casual people.
Yeah.
Hey. So,
that's what you want.
So it's a yes from me as well, but I've just got one question. That would be, what happens with the main event at WrestleMania in the on the men's side of things?
Well, luckily, there's 2 months or so to tell stories.
Yeah, fair enough.
We've got an elimination chamber and whatnot in there. It's all fine.
Sounds good. Two yeses for Ross. Andrew, what's your first pitch?
It's nothing as grand as that, I can tell you. For
already
for sure,
playing himself.
But no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I think people will be like, oh, this one for this one.
Well, why did you do it then?
Well, because
one.
I thought I should have done. To
like
be fair, I should
of?
Have done. I
sorry,
should have done.
I'm sorry.
I thought about this on Sunday and was like, that's a good idea. Okay. And then Monday came along, scuppered my plans a little bit, but I'm sticking to my guns. So here we go. So we start with Charlotte Flair being interviewed backstage about her odds of winning this year's Rumble match. She's confident. She's the best of the best. She's so good that she has to win the whole thing to pick a worthy opponent for herself. She goes on to say there's nobody in the whole industry of professional wrestling that can go toe-to-toe with the Queen. And then we enter Mickey James. Impact Knockouts title in hand. Mickey smiles and basically tells Flair, yeah, you might be right. No one can go toe-to-toe with you here, but professional wrestling is a heck of a lot bigger than this bubble that you live in, Charlotte. The two get in a heated back and forth before Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch makes an appearance. Hot off retaining her title against Doudrop, Lynch goes all in on James, calling her a third-rate champion on a third-rate brand of nobodies who failed to make it, only coming back to WWE to stay relevant in fear that before long, the whole world will forget who Mickey James is. Becky looks towards Charlotte. There's nobody here in WWE or otherwise that can touch us. I want a worthy opponent. You want a worthy opponent. If we team up, we can prove we're the best both inside and outside our bubble. And then obviously, you know, if one of them wins, perhaps Charlotte picks to go and face Becky and then vice versa as well. So Charlotte accepts and Becky is inserted into the Rumble match. Match time arrives and it's quite early on. And to avoid any like Bianca's, Liv's or younger promising talents getting eliminated, we see this is going back now, Ross. Do you remember the two Woo Man power trip?
I do, yeah.
This is what's happening right here.
Yeah. Stealing my ideas,
I'm not stealing your ideas. I'm just saying it's part of the same universe. It's all part of the Cultaholic extended universe in which we see the two Woo Man power trip take control of the Rumble by throwing anyone out who dares even enter their domain. Whoa. Close to midway through the match, Mickey's entrance music hits and she darts to the ring to take the two women on. And she does a great job, for the most part, reversing any attempt Flair and Lynch have trying to throw out of the ring. Cue the next person entering the Rumble, NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose. As she's another WWE champion, we see Mandy joining forces with the two Woman Power Trip, and this time they're beating the holy heck out of Mickey without the intention of throwing her out of the ring this time. It's just a brutal beatdown, trying to prove a point and make a laughingstock out of Impact Wrestling. The countdown for the next superstar begins. The buzzer sounds. However, no one comes out, which is a bit weird. The three WWE Women's Champions in the ring take this as a sign that no one in their right mind would want to challenge them.
Who's
Thus, they continue their beatdown on Mickey. Again, a few minutes pass, the counter starts and the buzzer hits. And there's a brief moment of silence before, throughout the arena, we hear the lyrics. And I can't sing it because the lady singing
no,
is
gotta
very,
sing
very
it.
Good. She does the... Inspiration, it's the inspiration.
Oh.
Well, that was Bob on right there.
Yeah,
Cassie Lee, Jessica McKay, the Knockouts Tag Team Champions, make their surprise return to WWE. And then I'm thinking from there, you get the three on the Impact side and then the WWE side facing off. And then hopefully the Impact's people throw out all the WWE people. And obviously on Monday it was reported that that the Inspiration had turned down the offer of coming into the Rumble.
I don't think we need to take that into account.
We don't need to take that into account. Also, you know, I think it would be kind of cool if they did just come back and were like, actually, let us show you what we can do that you never let us sort of demonstrate in WWE. So that would be quite nice. Yeah. That's just the pitch. That's the first one.
But then what if Vince McMahon just said, like, no, I'm not going to let you do that?
Well, then that ruins my whole entire
Boris Johnson says that.
Yeah. but yeah. First one?
I'm torn here.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little bit torn. Because on one hand, I like the... What am I trying to say here? I like the spirit of the pitch.
Mm.
But some of the little details I'm not certain about. But I like the overall... I like the macro, not the micro or whatever.
Yeah.
So I like the idea... I like the whole wrestling's bigger than your bubble thing, even though it would never really happen. Vince would never allow that.
No,
but
of course.
For the purposes of this, I like
it.
I like Mickie James being portrayed as like on a similar level to Becky and Charlotte and surviving against them. The Iconics bit, I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But it would get a big reaction, I think. So who goes on to win? Do you know? Is that not part of
I think that's just part of the Rumble match as a whole. Okay. Like whoever wins is going to be someone
different. I'll give it a yes. And this is assuming that it takes place in a different universe to Ross's. Because I don't want both Rumbles to be mad. Much madness.
It's 2022. Anything can happen.
No, too much. Too much madness. Well, I'll give it just a yes.
Thank you.
That's all right. Don't worry.
Thank you.
It's a solid no from me, guys.
I love
the fact that the Inspiration told Dorit to go away after releasing them.
Yeah.
The cheeky gets. So seeing them come back would be like them tucking their proverbial tails between their legs to have one more crack at the big time in my eyes. So good on them for standing up for them. And also, you nicked my idea, so that's also a bad mark in your books.
I didn't nick your idea. I was just...
My
I just
name is written
named
there.
Them
Two Woman
that
Power
was,
Trip.
That was an homage to your brilliant creative writing.
Stealing.
No, I'm just...
Wasn't a tribute, just a theft.
Fine. It was a theft.
Disgusting.
Jack?
My first one's also about the Women's Royal Rumble. And you'll notice that I've actually written notes this time. It's just groundbreaking.
New year, new him.
I know. I think that the Rumble... if she's healthy, would be the perfect side for the return of Bayley.
Mm.
But babyface Bayley, but like just because she'd get a big reaction if she came back. I don't think she'll have to go full wacky waving. I don't think she can ever go back to that really.
But she killed them.
She did just stab them, yeah. I forgot about that. So they're not coming back.
They are, aren't they?
Can't bring people back to life. This isn't
what
GTA.
About the Undertaker?
This is real life.
He's dead.
Okay, well. So the wacky waving men aren't coming back. They're dead forever, children. I think she'll get cheered for making a return. And to make the most of it, I think the WWE should be a little bit more savvy than usual and have it come when... Because they've always liked to portray certain superstars as babyfaces, even when they're heels.
Mm.
I think WWE need to be a little bit cleverer than that in this instance and have her come back during a portion of the Rumble where it's just the Bellas in the ring and they've just teamed up to eliminate like some fan favorite and everyone's like, boo, and they're shouting about how... like they're the real women's wrestling historians. You know what I mean? They're the real
trailblazers.
Yes, trailblazers. That's the word. And then Bayley comes out and just batters them, or batters Brie, And then Nikki puts up a bit more of a fight. And then she, but like she can instantly eliminate Brie, no one would mind. But then Nikki like clings on a bit and they have a back and forth. And then Bailey eventually gets the better of her, maybe later on. Bailey, I think this should take place quite early on in the match because I think Bailey's been the Iron Woman in a Rumble before. Could certainly fulfill that role. Mm. I think she lasts until the final four, which is herself, Charlotte, Lita, and Mickey James, just because I think that's quite intriguing if Mickey lasts quite a long time as well. But I think Charlotte should eliminate Lita, like she said she would, and eliminate Mickey as well, just for the heat. And then that leads, like when Shinsuke eliminated Roman because no one wanted Roman to win, I think Bailey eliminates Charlotte, then everyone will be fully on board on the Bailey train by this point. But then I think she should challenge Becky for Mania because I just think it's a fresher matchup. I think she should win, and then that makes her Raw Women's Champion, and then she can be challenged whenever this person's ready to return from injury by Sasha Banks. And we can finally get the big NXT rematch. I've noticed while saying this that my pitch is far more rooted in the realms of reality than yours were. But that's okay.
That's what you want to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine was a bit of a more of a straightforward thing. But, you know.
Yeah. It's a big yes from me.
Thank you.
Can't go wrong with that. Who wouldn't want to see Bailey come back and absolutely
Michael
demolish
Cole.
Everybody? Well, other than Michael Cole.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like.
Sam Driver.
Yeah. I don't think there's much more to say. I think that's good. Part of me would like to see someone like a Liv Morgan or, you know, Rhea or someone win as well. But I think realistically, if Bailey was to come back, I think she'd absolutely clean house.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm. All right.
I like meat and potatoes.
Same, yeah.
Bit of mince and dumplings and potatoes. Yeah.
Once compared one of my pitches to a spicy burger. And this one's meat and potatoes, which isn't as exciting, but
you like it, don't you? You know what you get.
Yeah, you do.
And you just accept it and you move on with your life.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, then. Cheers. No. Ross, what's your second one?
I realise all three of mine are about the men's rumble, so if that upsets you, I'm very sorry. But we're going to number 27, number 28, or maybe even number 29 in the men's rumble. And Mustafa Ali's music hits. Hashtag free Ali, but I'm going to get there. Don't worry about it. On the stage is not the Ali we thought we knew, with the beautiful hair and the sculptured facial hair. You know what a beautiful bastard he is. On the ramp is this fella who, in my mind, would be about 10 pounds more muscular. 10 pounds more muscle would be on his frame than the Ali we knew. He would have a sick fade on the sides of his head, shorter on top. He'd have a fuller beard to make him look more manly and imposing. Because that's what insecure masculinity, or whatever that phrase is all about. It's Ali, but it's not the Ali we knew. It's the Ali who is going to stop taking crap because, like every other superstar who's been unhappy with their creative output, which obviously Ali has been, and understandably so, he's been locked in metaphorical jail for ages. He's been eating bread and drinking water and spending multiple hours a day lifting weights. And that's why he's so hench in my pitch here, because he's been in De Klink. Yeah?
Yeah.
In De Klink, you know, Buddy all the wrestlers have been released. There's been Matthews was in
jail.
There. Moxley was in jail.
Aleister Black, maybe.
Aleister Black was in some sort of jail. They're all in bloody jail. Yeah. So that's where Ali's been.
It's a metaphor. They've been in jail.
He hasn't broken free quite yet, though. But he's going to wreak havoc while he's still in there.
Like Zac Efron.
In De Klink.
Breaking free.
Yeah. This is the new Ali with a new attitude. He's a bad dude with attitude, I've written down here. He wins the Royal Rumble match. Mustafa Ali, hashtag free Ali. He goes on to WrestleMania, and this new Ali, who's been given the time to cut the promos and develop his character and get the message he wants to get across in the upcoming months, he wins the Universal title from Roman Reigns.
Whoa!
Wow!
That's how badass this new Ali would be in my mind, at least. I was watching a few of those Retribution promos, not the ones on Raw, SmackDown, whatever, the ones that happened on Talk and Raw. And Raw Smack, whatever they were called, with Paul Heyman and Kayla.
Talking Smack.
When they just let them do whatever.
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
They were
then.
Really
I want some of these to happen on the main roster shows. After winning the title, he says, I'm free. And not in the same way that Mr. Humphries would do in Are You Being Served?
No, I've never really watched it.
He gets it.
Yeah.
You got there?
I got that
some
one.
People might get it, some people might not. Then I've written down here, I don't know what I was doing this morning, an alien spacecraft beams him up to space. I was just joking there. Nah, he says I'm free. I don't know why I wrote that down. A little bit of spars there in the pitch. Yeah. He says, nah, I'm free. And then he buggers off to become a traveling world champion in the Ric Flair sense of the phrase. Mm. He's got that Universal title and he'll defend it all around the bloody universe. And then for the next year or so, I'm going to say, he appears on Raw, SmackDown, as I say. He travels around the world, all the promotions you can name, because obviously now that WWE have realised, oh, we've released too many people, or maybe one too many people, we have to work with promotions like Impact and stuff. He takes on these different challenges from across the world. Of course, he doesn't get beat, though, because he's the new badass Mustafa Ali with his sick fade and big beard. I've written down here as well, he even defends the Universal title, and title versus title match, well, just a title versus title match, against AEW World Champion MJF at AEW Full Gear 2022.
Wow.
It's what we want to happen. And then eventually he's beaten by Goldberg at the greatest Royal Rumble 2. But there is my pitch for the new sick, faded, bearded Mustafa Ali. Because he sort of gets free and he gets to do what he wants to do, which is portray this message that, you know, just because you're called Mustafa doesn't mean you're a bad man.
No, yeah, that's true. That wasn't present in your pitch at all.
I've written it down there. Develop his character and get his message across.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, yeah. It's a no from me, Ross. I'm sorry.
It's a no.
If your pitch...
You want Ali to stay in prison forever.
No, I want him to leave WWE. But if your pitch was a food, it would be like a steak that's too rare for me. Like, it's just too... I need a little bit... I'm too scared of it. I'm a bit like, whoa... I don't appreciate your attempts to turn Mustafa Ali into Dan Bilzerian. That's very weird.
Has he got a fade, has he?
I don't know if he's got a fade, but that's all I could picture in my mind when you were saying...
It's a crucial detail, is the fade.
The fade's really important.
Yeah.
It's just too out there for me. I'm sorry. It's too wacky.
I pitched Triple H coming back with an army not too long ago.
Yeah, no, this is weirder than that. It's way weirder. But I appreciate the meaning behind it. But the steak's just too rare for me. It's my fault, but it's a no.
I think I have to agree with Jack. It's almost a catch
22. Steals my ideas and then says no to me second pitch.
It's almost a catch 22 in my eyes, in that obviously we want to see Mustafa Ali free and doing what he wants to do. However, I feel like we have to turn him into what Vince McMahon wants him to be before he can get to the point of leaving. Do you know what I mean? Like, he wants to be the bigger, more grizzled, adds 10 pounds, more muscular kind of person to then go on to be free. But then you're kind of stripping Ali of what already makes him incredible in the first place.
Taking away who he really is.
So, yeah.
How have I done that exactly, Andrew? Because I would just say
just by his look, because I guess if you add 10 more pounds on and give him this grizzled fade and everything, that's kind of turning him into what Vince McMahon would probably
Vince
want
McMahon
him to be.
Massive fan of the fade, as we all know.
Like them telling people on NXT to get haircuts and whatnot.
Oh, this
like
is
that.
Not because of Vince McMahon. This is the
I was thinking
to
that.
Represent
I thought
the
you were gonna, I really thought you were going to say he's going to turn into Ali 2.0.
Yeah, no, this isn't like telling
Scotty. The beard and the muscles. I was like, this is Vince.
This isn't like telling Scotty too hard to get a beard dye, get rid of a few grays. You know, this is just Ali. This is the visual representation that it's a different Ali. He's evolved. And he's become this final boss version of himself. And that would do with Vince going, I want you to get a sick fade.
Although I've misinterpreted it there, and the whole thing that you planned out there,
I think that way as well, though.
Yeah,
maybe it's the reader's interpretation, not the author's. What am I talking about here?
I don't know. It's all getting meta. But
final episode of Afterlife. This pitch
was it good? I didn't watch it.
You've seen it, yes?
Nah.
Oh, I'll not say anything more then.
Okay, but it's enough from me. I'm sorry. I do apologize.
You will well be. I thought that was a nailed on yes all around. I was proud of that one.
Sorry, Ross.
Make things awkward now.
Andrew, what's your second pitch, please?
Okay, so my second pitch is...
You said no to Ali as Universal Champion.
No, you can't. That's
doing what he wants to do. Making millions. Taking on all these dream matches. You've said no to that. Well, I never. No. Hangman Page.
MJF.
If that forbidden door goes down... That's just the one I wrote down.
But that was pretty good, though.
The possibilities are endless.
They are endless.
Chris Bay.
That would be cool as well.
That would be a great match. But if Ali was small... Maybe if Ali had like 10 pounds less muscle, it would be cool.
Oh.
He's too slow now.
Yeah, he can't do his flips now.
Say that to Will Ospreay.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's very true. I do apologise.
You don't need to apologise, Andrew.
Nah. I know you don't mean it.
What?
Your apology.
What's happening? I'm going to just read my pitch now.
Oh,
I know you've already locked in a solid no.
Oh, that's good.
See?
It's, why is he not? I said no as well, but I've escaped all
this. I know. He's just targeting me. But okay, okay.
Oh, it's so, not my turn. What am I doing?
It's,
sorry.
No, it's my turn. It's my turn, of course. So we've seen.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now, Paul Heyman has been over the last few weeks. He's been fired by Roman Reigns, aligning, but then being told to shut up by Brock Lesnar when talking about how much he adored the Tribal Chief. Something seems a little bit suspicious in my mind, although there's going to be some sort of double cross somewhere down the line. Ooh. So maybe during the night of the Royal Rumble, we see Paul Heyman backstage stepping out of Roman Reigns' dressing room. Brock catches him and Heyman starts to backtrack, stating that he was just conversing with Reigns to make sure he's not going to get involved in the WWE title match tonight. Brock laughs and says, "It doesn't matter if Reigns or the entire locker room gets involved tonight. I'm still walking out as the WWE champion." Mm. However, if he finds out Heyman has double crossed him, there'll be hell to pay. Hey, Brock walks off, and as he does, Heyman's telephone also buzzes, but the camera cuts there, so we don't actually find out who it is. Match time comes, and everything is going well. This is the WWE title match, by the way. It's a big, beefy... I put loads of B's in this. It's a big, beefy brawl between both behemoths. There you go. And then the inevitable happens. There's a ref bump. Brock gets Lashley up into the F5, swings him round. The ref gets in the way, and boom, the ref is down. I feel like everyone and their cats and dogs are anticipating. I don't know why I write these things sometimes. I feel like everyone in their cats and dogs are anticipating Roman coming out to cost Brock the title. And surprise, surprise, here comes Roman slinking in from the crowd to hit Brock with a Superman punch and a spear combo. Paul is looking on in horror and shock as Roman drapes Bobby over Lesnar, tossing the ref in their direction to count the pin. 1, 2, 3. Bobby Lashley is now the new WWE champion. As Reigns stands tall over a lifeless Brock, shoving the Universal Championship in his face, Heyman rolls into the ring, and his expression of shock and horror turns into a sly grin. Applauding and walking towards Roman, Heyman bellows, "Your tribal chief, everybody." Oh, it's a double cross, of course. However, Roman looks up and he's a little bit bewildered, puzzled as to why Heyman is cheering and clapping for him. And as he turns to face Heyman, he's quickly hit with a spear from Bobby Lashley. Again, shock and horror is plastered all over Heyman's face as he begins backing up into the corner of the ring with the presence of Lashley slowly approaching him. And when all seems lost for Paul Heyman in this situation, as he cowers with his head tucked into his chest, Lashley pats him on the back, leaving Heyman to slowly reveal a smirk from ear to ear, lifting Lashley's arm and declaring him the new WWE champion. It's like a double, triple, double cross. And now Bobby Lashley is aligned with Paul Heyman and MVP. He's got too much power behind him. It's crazy.
Doesn't need him. He's got MVP.
I mean, that's true, but I don't know if... After Bobby lost the title, obviously he's been winning a few matches and that here and there. But I don't know if something's still a little bit not right where it was before. I don't know if there's some momentum lost or whatnot. But I like the idea of setting this up so then we can get like Big E and Bobby Lashley down the road at WrestleMania. And then that, I guess, gets the title off Brock. And then Brock and Roman can go on and do their thing at WrestleMania 2. But I like the idea of Paul Heyman and Bobby Lashley and MVP, just like an absolute power unit together. I quite enjoy that idea. I don't know if it's too basic.
Why would Why would Heyman?
Heyman now. Heyman is Heyman sick of like being treated. Like Roman treats him like plops.
Brock Lesnar
is almost like to Paul Heyman now. Brock Lesnar is almost like a joke compared to what it used to be like when he first came into WWE and Paul Heyman was behind him and everything, backing him and all that, getting him to where he is now. And then for kind of like Lesnar just to be like, oh, shut up, Paul. Kind of don't really need you at this point. Like, why are you even here? I guess Paul is just like, I'm just going to swerve both of you, you absolute cretins.
Well, I think that is what's going to happen.
Mm.
But not with the Paul joining Bob.
Bobby, yeah.
I think he might betray Brock because I agree it's a bit off.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's that bit. It's the bit with two managers that I'm like,
okay.
What's your, without spoiling it, what does your third pitch concern like what happens in the Rumble or not?
Not regarding like Brock Lesnar and Rumble. No.
I'm afraid it's a no from me, Andrew. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Ross, what's your verdict?
It's a no from me.
No, that's
just because, as you say, it was pretty basic, the first part of the pitch, you know.
Bobby, I mean, it was.
It's just harsh. Yeah.
And then the second part is you just don't need two managers, do you? You just need one.
It was well thought out. It wasn't basic.
That's all right. It's all right. No, I get it.
Is this the most brutal pitch? We're normally really polite on these, and I'm worried that this is the most brutal one.
To be fair, I don't think it was my best one.
There's a video out there of like a big brawl going on in a kebab shop somewhere, and there's a guy just sat with his kebab. I feel like him just watching on. You know, I've managed to stay out of the crossfire for now.
He's like the guy in The Simpsons. You remember where they're all fighting on the lawn? Is the it like the white Fat Tony's? And he's just there like...
Yeah, but he's about to do something.
I'm not the guy
in the white suit. My next one is... So we go to the Miz and Maryse versus Edge and Beth Phoenix match. Edge and Beth Phoenix win, and they say after the match that they're like the toughest couple in the history of WWE, but that sounds like a heel promo, but like Edge says it in like his roguish, lovable way. You know what he's like, you know? Got an issue with
Gollum.
No, not that way. No,
that's the only way he talks.
Babyface Edge way, when he's just a bit cheeky, you know? Have I made up this Edge? Does he never?
No, he is.
He's a cheeky sometimes.
He's not seen it for years, though.
Not when he's like, I don't want him crouching down in the ring going like, what is
it? He smacks on the chair and gets a vein.
He does, though, doesn't he? His head is just constantly bright red these days.
No, he's roguish. He's just won a match with his wife. They're buzzing. But, you know, they're all, hey. As they leave, the next match happens to be Becky Lynch versus Doudrop. So Becky's music hits. She should really come out second as the champion if you're going by that convention. But for the purposes of this, Becky strides past them and they look at her because she's like walking all powerfully and that like she does. But she pays them. She's like, no, none of that.
Whoa.
She doesn't want any of them in like a dismissive way.
Yeah.
She's not scared. She comes. That's just planting a seed. She wins against Doudrop. And then you can come back to this whenever, really. They're just going to leave that there while other things go on. Becky will obviously have to take on the winner of the Rumble unless they choose Charlotte, I guess. But I didn't want to pick this up again at Mania. At first, I thought Elimination Chamber. Then I was like, oh, it's in Saudi Arabia. It feels a bit non-canon still and a bit out of the way. So I thought maybe Backlash. So let's say Backlash. After WrestleMania, new storylines and stuff. We come back to it. So we get a feud between Edge and Beth Phoenix and Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Don't panic. I know they've paired Becky and Seth together before, and it wasn't good, and they seemed like they'd never met before on camera. But I think heel Becky and Seth would do a lot better. I think that Becky needs to carry the bulk of the promos because we've already had Seth and Edge recently. I think that Becky adds a new dynamic, which would hopefully keep it fresh. Mm. We get to Backlash, and they have some sort of stipulation, maybe like a falls count anywhere, and basically they brawl all over the place. They go up into the crowd. You've got the dynamic of Becky being all cocky and Seth being, it's not cheesy baby. It's not them when they were, I'm really trying to stress here that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that they're teaming. It's a good thing, guys. Just silence from Ross.
I'm agreeing.
They're all fighting all over the crowd and stuff. Edge and Seth do like a madness somewhere and they're both out and then back in the ring. Beth Phoenix loses to Becky Lynch and Becky doesn't really care that her husband's in loads of pain. Like he crawls back to the ring, but she's just like, I'm the best and stuff. Cause I think that's what her character would do. I don't think she'd be too sympathetic. And then that's basically it. And then Seth and Becky have won. I'm not sure. I thought there was more of an ending point to that, but no, they've just won. They've just beaten Edge and Beth Phoenix.
That is the nicest ending to the Seth Rollins versus Edge story there could be, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would? Because you're not happy with the way it ended in the first place.
Well, no, because that's the only other place it could go.
True. Yeah. Very true.
Getting the wives involved. Seth went round the house and drank their orange juice.
He did.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, there's got to be a segment of the match like when Ronda beat up Triple H, where Beth Phoenix batters Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And then Becky and Seth now would be very good together because they're not baby faces.
No.
They are the heels.
I think they'd have a laugh.
Yeah.
I think people would want them to win.
I don't think they'd be like Edge and Lita back in the day.
No, goodness. But they'd almost be like Madcap Moss and Happy Cole. Just taking the Mickey out of their opponent.
Telling jokes.
Yeah, making each other laugh. That's what you want. And that's the next feud for them after. No, it's not. It's not. Don't worry.
I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, I really genuinely do like it. As Ross was saying, it's a good way to like continue that feud, and I like the idea of like finally Seth getting that win as well on Edge.
I've realized that when I write them down, they're more sensible, and I'm not sure how
There's
I feel about
wrong
this.
With that, though.
It's a video, isn't it, for entertainment?
No, but it's like things that we do want to see down the line.
Yeah, fair enough. I've finally taken the assignment seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if there's much point in me doing this third one because it's not as good as my second one and you both said no to that one.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
We'll try it on.
We might think it is better than the second one.
You don't know.
Second one was absolutely garbage. No,
you will. My second one was the ultimate crowd-pleasing pitch and it's been crapped on. Anyway, men's rumble we go to again. Kel surprise, everyone. Number 30 in the rumble enters. Whoever it is, I don't care. It's inconsequential in this pitch. 2 minutes or whatever the gap this year is after the 30th entrant, we hear a little bit of a scuffle come through the microphones inside the arena. You're thinking, oh, what the hell's going on here? Is this a production error? We've got no idea. And then you just hear a voice. You don't know whose voice it is. Say, oh, give us the mic, will you? Oh, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. It's not a very good impression. No, it's not your dad. If you're not going to do it, I'll do it. I've got the eyes of a lion that tell a story of pride, a story of strength, a story of brutality. Don't lock eyes with me or it's already too late. Play my music. Play my music. Via's music plays.
And I genuinely thought it was the English Lion anyway.
He comes out with a microphone and he says, nobody else is going to do this. I'm going to do it myself. Your number 30 entrant in the Men's Royal Rumble of 2022. It's me. It's Via. I finally came. Adam Pearce follows him out almost immediately and it turns into comedy jabers, doesn't it? What are you doing, Veer, you silly sausage? We've already had all 30 people out. Number 31 you are. It makes no difference. Get yourself on the back. You're late, you silly goose. Veer starts cutting his own pipe over how he thought he was released from Dury last year because, of course, everyone else was, who just assumed he was going to be as well. So he went back to his hometown of...
Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
His hometown of...
Uttar Pradesh.
That's the second part. Gopiganj.
Oh wait, sorry, don't read the whole.
That one there.
Gopiganj,
Uttar Pradesh, India. That's where he's from originally, where he was born. And he's had to hitchhike his entire way back to the WWE. He's gone through all that effort just for Adam Pearce to go, no, go to the back. Adam Pearce said he doesn't care, and that's official, Veer, because that's Adam Pearce's catchphrase. Veer walks off in a sulk and instantly becomes the biggest babyface the professional wrestling business has seen since Daniel Bryan in 2013 to 2014.
Whoa. Right.
He's late. That's the joke.
Yeah. This is what we wanted from your pictures. Whoa, someone's at the door. That was
hello. Is it Veer? He's here.
This is none of this trying to make a good pitch and everything. just do that, you know. I had a look round in the middle of your pitch. Richard Tubman was chuckling behind the camera.
God,
he loved it. He was a little smile. He was enjoying it. He was definitely enjoying it.
The magic of Veer has captured the wrestling universe.
It's a full yes from me, especially for the sentence, he sulks off and becomes the biggest thing. That's the point where everyone's like,
just imagine
like
the trombone playing, wah, 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 the crowd cheer. Veer is off to the races.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
You said that was going to be the weakest one. And
I thought it was.
Phenomenal.
I wrote it down.
That was phenomenal. I enjoyed that so much. And I like the idea that the joke is that he's obviously very late. That's really good.
Will he be there? Is he alive?
I think he's going to be there.
He'll have to be. He'll get
he's
a huge
got to
pop.
Be, right? He would,
a
wouldn't he?
A huge pop.
Do you think this is why they've
done it? Number 30 this weekend.
To just build more excitement behind him. It's like, nah, don't bring him in just yet. He's still coming. And then finally when he does, at the Royal Rumble.
It's like Hook.
Yeah, it is.
They're going to make him ironically popular. And then I'll stop myself there. Then he'll get in the ring and start impressing everybody and then get over the other way.
You don't know until you see him.
I've seen him though.
Well, that's true.
He was way better than Shanky. He's not on Hook's level.
No.
He might be now. You don't know.
Oh, you have plenty of time to train. Well, no, he's been hitchhiking, hasn't he?
But he's been...
Where's he fit in?
They've been like big vans. He's able to train the back of it. Okay, well, I don't know what's going to top that now. I don't think it's going to be this one.
Are you drinking a Dragon Ball Z drink?
I am, yeah. It's supposed to say Vegeta, but it just says Vegeta.
Oh, what does it taste like?
It tastes like apple. It's nice. It's dead nice. Very good.
Where do you get that from?
You know the Asian market shop in town?
Yeah.
Near the gate?
Oh, yeah.
It was nice in there. Get some good stuff.
Sam took me there once.
Did he?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got a small espresso coffee energy can thing.
Ooh.
He recommended it highly. It wasn't very nice.
Was it? I've heard of many strange sort of Japanese and Chinese energy drinks that just don't sound very nice. And then I think one of them's almost just like sour milk.
Yeah.
But it's an energy drink.
When we were in Japan, he kept trying to get me to drink something called like Pakura Sweat. And I was like, I don't want to drink something with the word sweat in the title. But he kept mentioning it. He must have mentioned it like 25 times that week, Richard. Pakura Sweat. Do you know what it is? Pakaru Sweat.
It's just normal energy drink.
Just normal energy drink. Why is it called? I don't want to drink it if it's called sweat. It's a bit awkward. Bad marketing. Sorry, Andrew.
It's all right. Let's get to this last one. So after his loss to AJ Styles on Raw this week, Austin Theory is found being scolded by Vince McMahon.
Spanked.
Now, is this literally or?
No, this is verbally. Not. He's not just throwing.
Well, he has
a kettle of water.
Murder the man,
I mean, he has punched his face
that's
in.
Scolded and not scolded.
Scolded.
Like Richard Iwadi or something.
That's
there,
why
right?
I asked.
Scolded.
Well, of course, there's a metaphorically scolded. Letters difference there.
He's metaphorically scolded
with a kettle, is he?
God, I always get them mixed up.
Hey, what do you like?
English. McMahon starts to doubt Theory. He thought he could be the next big thing, but perhaps he thought wrong. Maybe it's time to invest in someone new that actually wants to be a superstar. Theory pleads with Vince McMahon, telling him he's made the right choice in mentoring him. Monday's match with AJ was a minor setback. It's going to be the Rumble match in which Theory will win back Vince's heart. Oh, that's nice. Vince says, you've got one chance. Now study for the test that the Royal Rumble is going to provide, or that's it. He hands Theory a VHS of the 1999 Royal Rumble, obviously one in which
Vince came out on top. Yeah.
That's the one. Rumble time arrives and Theory's in the match. He's doing all right. He's not doing phenomenal, but he's doing just all right. He has entered quite early on, but is struggling to get people over the top rope. He gets one or two people hoyed over, but he's clearly struggling somewhat and almost gets himself eliminated a few times. The frustration with himself is becoming evident, as well as commentary playing up to the fact as well. The countdown starts and the buzzer hits. No chance if that's what you've
How
got.
Is this going to happen? Okay,
boom.
I'm listening. How on earth? He's not stood up for about 4 months.
I'm telling you now, big muscular Vinnie Mac power walks down to the ring, anger strewn across his face as he slides into the square circle to dispatch a few jobbers. He's tired of watching.
Just casually dispatches a few jobbers.
He's tired of watching Theory's feeble attempts to make an impact in the match. So instead, he decides to show Theory how it's done. The two team up, Vinny almost like the father that teaches their child how to fish, with McMahon telling Theory to watch and follow his lead. Austin does, and the two go on somewhat of a miniature tear. But like, come on, let's not start throwing actual legit winners out. But then, but maybe you do to add stakes to this thing, maybe to make it seem like, whoa, what's going on here?
Gone.
Vince McMahon taking him out, and that can then show that Austin, you know, he's learning and improving. McMahon can see this; he's impressed. But Austin has a little bit to go yet. So as the two stand in an empty ring, waiting for the next entrant, Vince is looking towards the ramp with a conflicted look on his face. Theory shrugs and throws Vinny over the top rope, eliminating the big man. Yeah. Vince is stunned and almost reaches boiling point when Austin utters the words, "Hey, always expect the unexpected," like he said to him. A nice little bow. You see Vince smile. They both have a little moment as Vince realizes his work is done.
Oh man, it should be a no. Like, it easily should be a no, but I'm so sports entertained.
Yeah.
I'm so bloody sports entertained.
Who are you casting as the stunt double for Vince McMahon?
We've seen him in the gym recently, right?
No, no. You're going to have to cast a stunt double for Vince McMahon.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm telling you now.
We've seen many people.
The guy hasn't stood up for 4 months at this point.
There's like legitimately good Vince McMahon masks out there. Someone can like put on and blend in like Mrs. Doubtfire or something. It'll be fine. But yeah.
It's a yes from me. I'll see. Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see what Vince would do. Yeah, too often after being eliminated like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Make his life hell.
Mm. Yeah, but then you know, I think Vince would be happy because it's like you're actually learning, Paul. You're doing a good job. I'm not gonna batter you.
But Vince isn't going to WrestleMania now.
Yeah, he wanted
to be like that.
Yeah. It was more that, you know, he's not that fussed about going to WrestleMania. He just wants to show Theory how it's done. He wants to get Theory in that top spot because it's like his surrogate son now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you see on this week's Raw, it was really weird. Theory said something and Vince responded as if like, it was like he'd responded to the wrong snippet of dialogue being put in. Theory was like, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble this weekend. And Vince goes, oh, that's fantastic. I'm like, what? Like, did you not know that people want to win the Royal Rumble?
I enjoyed the bit where Austin Theory was like, can I have a late number, please? He goes, what gives you the impression that? Yeah.
Why? I can do that.
Vince McMahon saying that.
Probably literally done it in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And on SmackDown, let's turn in the podcast now. On SmackDown, right, Adam Pearce said that he'd recommend a match to upper management. It was Sonya Deville, though, so I get that he can't book a match for another authority figure, but... Who's up, man? Who's
I don't know.
Is that Vince?
It must be Vince.
Anyway, it's a yes from me as well.
Thank you. Very sports entertaining.
It was awful, but I liked it.
It was very bad. It's like the opposite
of Ross's, which was good, but I didn't like
it.
Yeah.
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 At least you said that. She said it was good.
It was good. Yeah. That's what I said. Like, I like the idea, but obviously...
But you said
know.
No?
I did say no, but it's a tough one.
Really it's rattled
one.
Me, that
It's a catch-22 for me,
It really has rattled me.
I'm sorry.
I've been thinking about that all week now.
He won't be able to enjoy the Rumble.
No,
sat there thinking Andrew said no.
My last pitch, I wish you'd gone last because mine's not a silly one. Mine's serious, unfortunately.
Okay. No, that's all right.
But it is the Men's Rumble as well. And basically backstage, earlier on in the show, we've got Kevin Owens trying to hype up his pal Seth Rollins before his Universal title match against Roman Reigns. Rollins is like, I really need to focus. Like, I really need you to leave me alone right now. And he walks off and Kevin looks just sad. He's like, man. Another friend who doesn't want to be my friend. Because even though he betrays everyone, Kev's got like a lot of self-pity. He's always like, I'm not going to betray. What are you on about? I'm Kevin Owens. I'm a nice guy. So he's a bit sad about this. We flash forward to the Rumble match itself. Midway through, it's time for the Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville bit. And everyone's like, oh, here we go. Johnny Knoxville's being a clown. I've put Knoxville's being a clown. He's doing whatever to Sami. So just whatever you
just
can imagine.
Whatever.
Jackass stuff.
A massive hand comes flying towards his face
maybe
or something.
He like stables
a car
him.
Type his ass.
Just casual banter like that.
Got him.
Eventually he does something like, I'm not sure, like maybe he slaps Sami or spits at him or something. Sami's like, whoa, hang on. Like, I'm actually a professional wrestler, and just takes his head off with a haluva kick and throws him out of the ring. I don't think anyone would be that sad about that. I wouldn't be. As long as he was all right. He gets injured for a living.
He does.
As long as Knoxville's all right. So then he's like, gradually as this has happened, it's like Sammy's had a revelation and he's remembering who he is and he starts doing better and better and he gets a couple of eliminations. The crowd are starting to notice. They're like, okay, here we go. Then Omos comes out and just clears the ring. He eliminates loads of guys. Sammy's the only one left and he's like, okay, he's not sure if he can do this or not. Kevin Owens' music hits and here we go. Through sheer necessity, they work together and actually take Omos out of the Rumble. Then, I'll just read out what I've put here. Then we get the best two-man tactics ever seen in a Royal Rumble. Distractions, saving each other from elimination, fun. Those are the three, things that we get. Distractions, saving each other from elimination, and most importantly of all, fun. I've said here, I don't want either of them to win, but it doesn't last, but they go down swinging. Maybe like a double version of Shawn Michaels' elimination when Batista knocked him off the apron. This sets up, hopefully, a tag title run on either brand, really. I could see them having really good matches if it was given time with either RK-Bro or Alpha Academy, or on the other side, the Usos as well. Yeah. So Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens back together, but not as enemies, as friends. Whoa.
Sami would make an honest man out of Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And I'm all here for that.
Okay. Would he?
Kevin Owens is a bit weird these days for me.
Why was it?
Oh, he's not a liar. Is he a liar? Who knows? Is he using Seth Rollins? Is he not using Seth Rollins? Mm. Seems a bit like emotionally disrupted by this new contract he's got. Mm. Maybe it's all of the money.
Maybe. Do you think he's going to... Because Rollins and Owens were like faces recently against the Usos anyway.
I think he's using Rollins to get his own way eventually.
He wants that title shot, doesn't
he? Yeah, I like that. If
Rollins wins,
Whoa, do you reckon that'll happen then?
What, that Seth and...
Seth will beat Roman.
No.
I mean, Roman can't have anybody come out for him, can he? But nobody said that Seth can't have someone come out for him.
All right, Vince McMahon.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You
know what I'm saying?
Is that a Yorkshire thing?
I don't know. I just I've said it ever since I was a young boy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's a yes from me, because who doesn't want to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn team up, as always? Because they are phenomenal together, aren't they?
They are.
They're made for each other.
Yeah.
Kissy-kissy and everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hopefully they could restore some prestige to the tag title. Hopefully
that would be good.
Hopefully a tag division will come back.
I would like to see that, because there's so many people that can have matches with Street Profits as well.
That'll be a great match. There's
Viking
some,
Raiders.
Loads of great matches.
Like,
honestly,
loads of good tag teams.
There's like
there.
Four great matches they're gonna have.
Yeah, four great matches, but we can play them over and over again. It'll be grand. But no, I really do.
You're
like
endorsing
that.
This pitch more than I am.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
no, you're welcome.
No, cheers.
That's what he does. He just steals other people's ideas.
Oh, wow.
To Woman Power.
I was paying homage to your brilliant writing. It's not like something exploding.
My head.
And that is the end of the video. Thank you very much for watching. Hope you've enjoyed all these pitches, but let us know which ones you agreed with and which ones you didn't in that comment section down below. Ross, thank you for joining us. What have you got in store over
Shall
the Royal
go through
Rumble?
The entire week of the content?
Just do it. I was going to ask Andrew as well, but
it's all good.
Just chime in if I forget anything. Okay. Yeah, Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast on Friday evening. We'll start there. That'll have some sort of Royal Rumble centric big question to it. Probably which will be the best match on the card.
I think so.
No spoilers now, Jack. Right on Saturday, Adam Pacitti will be doing his live stream on the YouTube channel. Of course, if you are lonely, you have no friends, and you want to watch the Rumble with somebody, you can put him on your screen. And like you'd be like in the same room as him. That'll be good, wouldn't
it? That would be good,
On the YouTube channel, that'll be. Come Sunday. Jack will be doing What Happened That for the Royal Rumble. I'll be doing WTF Moments for the Royal Rumble of 2022. This dickhead and Tom Campbell will be live at twitch.tv/cultaholic for the live review, 1 hour-ish, a little bit more, I don't know. Thunder Liger show.
Yeah, usually about an hour and a half. I think Justin Thunder Tiger should be there.
Is that his official
That's
name?
That's his official name.
So I beg my pudding. And then it'll be Monday, live. We'll be watching it live, but the cut-down reactions will be live on Monday, where we sit on the couch and shout some words.
Yep.
And that is it.
Yeah, I think there's tier list, Rumble tier lists and stuff going up, isn't there? And our predictions as well.
And our predictions, but I don't know if that'll be... is this going live tonight, Richard Tubman?
So.
Nobody knows nothing.
So hopefully
predictions as
tomorrow,
well.
Hopefully.
Well, come retain me title.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Ross and Andrew, for joining me.
Thank you.
This lovely pitches video. And thanks to everybody for watching as well. Have a great day, and we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.